This podcast is brought to you by Harry's. Please visit harrys.com and use the promo code GOT to get $5 off your starter kit. Podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're doing a little bit of feedback here. We got some non-spoilery stuff, a little bit of that, and then we got a big old fat spoiler section.
Sure.
That Aaron's going to take over because I'm a spoiler virgin.
Yeah, that's the thing. People might be confused. Hey, I thought this week was the spoiler cast. It is, but we have a little bit of non-spoiler stuff that we want to talk about. Primarily about, you know, we asked for fans' reactions to the books being surpassed by the series. They're not surpassed, being leapfrogged. Surpass seems to imply a difference in quality, whereas it's more just a chronological displacement that's going on here. But yeah, I'll talk about that for a little bit. You've obviously seen now that we've got new music. I know that that will please some of you and probably displease some of you.
I think it will please more people than it will displease. We got a lot of hate mail.
Yeah, we got a lot of people saying STFU. I like the Arya's Prayer. The thing is the Arya's Prayer is officially licensed to someone else, and I'd prefer to use music that we can get a license to elsewhere. So, like I said, I don't think it's going to please everybody, but we were able to secure the rights to use a little bit of the track you just heard, which is the 80s TV theme remix of Game of Thrones, which I thought was appropriate.
I'm loving it. Yeah, I love it, man.
AKA Throne Wolf.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like a very Airwolf theme. Not
Night Throner.
And I reached out to Highway Superstar, which is the guy who, the group that composed this, rather, and they graciously agreed to let us use a portion of it for intro and outro music. So really appreciate that. You can find this particular track, which is also in the show notes. It takes you right to the track on SoundCloud. But you can also get to their SoundCloud site at soundcloud.com/highwaysuperstar. It's all one word spelled exactly how you'd think it's spelled. Okay. And I think it's really cool. It's fitting for our television coverage here. So we're going to be talking about primarily up front people's reactions. I asked people to give me their reaction about the books flip-flopping. Before we get to that, some people asked me about the progress on the Night's Watch. If you joined us before last season, you'll know that I did a Game of Thrones podcast with a co-host, Mad Brew. We called it the Night's Watch, and it's pretty good. But for various reasons, we could not come to agreement to continue our season 4 coverage. And Mad Brew asked for me to delist all that stuff and do a bunch of editing and to put it back. Honestly, guys, I ran into a couple problems with that. Number one, I just don't have the time to do that many seasons worth of remixing. Also, when I download, these things were in MP3s encoded at 64 kps, which is kind of marginal, you know, radio quality anyway. When you go and down, and that's the only copy I have, I deleted foolishly all the full quality WAV files of the podcast. When you take those and edit them and then remix them down again, they sound like ass.
Yep, like you're underwater.
At this point, I would prefer, and it would probably take about as much time commitment, to go back and redo those seasons with Jim here.
Holy shit.
I know.
Not for me, it wouldn't.
Well, sure, that is a consideration, an important one to be sure. But I think that, and I don't know, I'm not promising that. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that if I'm going to invest a unit of time called X, I would rather do X plus X divided by 2, because I think that's it's about 50% more work to just go ahead and re-record it than to you know, do a botched copy.
Yeah.
So kind of a bummer on that. There might be places online where you can find old archive copies, but, you know, that would be your personal quest.
Not officially sanctioned.
No, I can't exactly give you Oathkeeper and send you out into the Seven Realms looking for those.
All right.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting that a couple things have happened in the kind of Game of Thrones online activities in the last few weeks. Number one, George R. R. Martin released another preview chapter for The Winds of Winter in the last week or two, which we're going to talk more about in the spoiler section. I've not read that yet, but I've got some theories about why he might have released it the time he did. And I'm hoping to get around to reading that by it next week. George also posted on his live journal talking about he made a comment or a person talking about, you know, how bummed they were about the books being leapfrogged by the shows, and the fan was calling it a betrayal of the source material. He said, is it kind of awkward? Sure. Is it a betrayal? I think that's harsh and unkind and untrue. So the author himself, I think, has come, you know, as we talked in the last podcast, full circle on this, and has come to a fairly nuanced view and has at peace with it. And I think as fans, maybe we can try to get there too. But
yeah, as someone who's not going to read the books, it might end up weird for book readers, but honestly, I don't really care. I mean, that's kind of my perspective as, you know, just a TV show fan. I don't know that it's going to make necessarily a bad TV show.
Sure.
I like I said last time, I am a little worried, but ultimately they've made a good show up to now. So
yeah.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Let's get two fans' takes. One is Connor McInerney. He wrote in and said, I have mixed feelings about this as I've been a book fan since I first read them in 2005. My first reaction was no, the show should wait for the books to be released. But after seeing that Martin has given them the intensive crash course of what's going to happen with Thrones, I realized the destination will ultimately be the same. And looking at it, they can't stop the show as people like Dinklage could go on to other projects and Maisie Williams would have to be recast. So I think they have it in the right direction. Also, the Double D's have said that Martin has to give the go-ahead with plot deviations. To conclude, I will watch the show with excitement as the show will spoil the book, but go on its own journey, as will the book, but both will reach the same destination. Plus, the idea that I can know what will happen to these characters soon does really excite me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a show-first reader, and that I watched the first two seasons without any book knowledge, then read up to the point where the series, you know, caught up to the books, and then I kind of stalled out with Feast and Dragon, and I made another attempt, and I've kind of come back. But I appreciated the show before the book, so I'm in a weird position where I've kind of seen both halves of this path. And I guess that's my thing, is as long as we're heading to the same direction, I don't mind them taking deviations. I'm not sure which I would consider canon, but
that's a good question. Yeah,
and you know, there are going to be a bunch of deviations this year. So I guess this is kind of going to be a barometer for us book fans going forward to see, you know, how faithfully they translate this next season. Are we okay at the changes? How much faith do we have that they can go forward with even less guidance? Mm-hmm. Martin does seem to has seemed committed in the last week or two to finishing The Winds of Winter by this time in 2016, which means we essentially going into the sixth season stave off the, if he can do that, we stave off the danger of, you know, all the books being, the remaining books being spoiled there. So there'd be only one final book left. And I guess if he can do that, I would feel a lot better about it, because that's just essentially a little bit of this season and one final season, which the beginnings and ends of things always seem to be the easiest things to write. It's okay. Always the middle stuff where you're trying to connect things that's tough. So I think that we wouldn't have to wait too long for the final book, tentatively called A Dream of Spring. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Double D's will have a lot more guidance at that point, because he'll know exactly where they're going. And Luis Wolf has another take. I said, I know a lot of people are fussed about the show overtaking the books, but I'm really excited and I hope that they do diverge. I was a fan of the show Full Metal Alchemist back in the day, as was I. This was an anime show based on a manga of the same type or same name. The show quickly outpaced the comics and simply broke with its source material to see the show through to a satisfying end. A few years later, the manga was finished and a new TV show was made that followed that version of events. The result was that I got to watch the characters I love go through a whole different set of adventures. If the same happens with Game of Thrones, we as fans simply get more story to enjoy. Many forms of media have the option for more than one ending or version of events, all of which are considered canon. As for the issue of who has the right to tell the story and who has the skill, George R.R. Martin has clearly given enthusiastic permission for the show to exist, and the Double D's haven't disappointed us so far with their changes from or additions to the source material. Personally, I don't care about which version of things is correct, as long as it is an enjoyable journey.
That seems like a reasonable viewpoint.
Do you think...
like, I don't care which one is quote-unquote correct.
What if the finishes are entirely different? Let's say, you know, and this is not me speaking from spoilers, let's say that Jon Snow at the end of the series sits on the Iron Throne, and the books, Daenerys sits on the Iron Throne.
Okay.
Are you cool with that? Because she's saying, like, well, this is just two different looks at different continuity and what's canon. I don't know that I would be cool with that. Because I'd always wonder, I'd always suspect foul play of Martin. I'd suspect him of intentionally, or maybe unintentionally, altering the ending just because he didn't want it to be exactly like the TV show.
It doesn't seem like he's too concerned about that, right? I mean, with the way this TV show has been going, it seems to track almost exactly with the books, doesn't it?
Yeah. And,
so I don't know that he would be like, oh, I can't do this, because that seems more like a Walking Dead sort of thing to do.
Hmm.
Don't want it to be exactly like the comics. I don't see George Martin doing that.
I don't have a good handle on his personality, because like last year, all his interviews seemed angry and petulant about this topic. And now all of his interviews are kind of conciliatory and accepting. And I don't know where that's just a natural reaction when your child is being taken from you, or that's your first instinct to feel that way, or whether HBO and the Double D's put a bag over his head and took him to a glacier in Iceland and, you know, strapped him naked out into the white wastes until he said he's going to get on script and drink the Kool-Aid.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be really weird to have it diverge that much, I think. But at the same time, I've seen it happen in Walking Dead, and it doesn't bother me very much.
And the thing,
especially
is,
as someone who isn't going to read the original stuff. Right.
And I guess it's different with a anime or cartoon series, because you can just read, you can have a series too, which is like a what if, you know, kind of like Marvel would used to do. Like, what if Professor Xavier became the Juggernaut? you know, what if Peter Parker's uncle was never killed? That's interesting, because you can draw the characters and they're kind of timeless. You know, if Martin takes another 5 to 6 years to come out with this and everybody's moved on and you have to recast all these people, I guess there's nothing saying that HBO would be interested in readapting the material, number one. Number two, if they did, I don't know if I'd be interested in watching it.
That's the thing. I'm with the first emailer. I don't think they can just hold off on this.
Yeah.
And say, we're going to wait until he finishes the books.
Sure.
There are a host of problems with that.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I do not care how much it diverges from the books because the show has been so good. And it just doesn't matter to me personally. I know there would be a lot of people upset by it, of course.
Okay. All right. Well, that is kind of the non-spoiler section. Before we get into the official spoiler section of the podcast, we have an official sponsor.
We do.
For the podcast this week. Would you care to tell us about it? Because I'm going to have to kind of be like you in the spoiler section, recuse myself.
Yeah. What are you shaving your face with these days?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
What did you used to shave it with? Just boring household razors?
The last time I shaved, which has been years ago, I was using a Don Draper era classic double-edged Merkur razor manufactured in Germany and some kind of Israeli blade.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It was, a retro. It was cheap. It was effective. What,
was it made out of Valerian steel?
It was not made out of Valerian steel.
All right. Well, neither are the razors that I'm going to talk about, but I thought it was a good joke. Harry's is our sponsor this week, as you know from the top of the show.
Only three smiths authorized the entire world to rework the Valerian steel into razor blades.
They're all German. They're all German.
And none of them work at Harry's.
No. No, they all do. They all do. So Harry's is kind of awesome. I've been using them for a couple 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really, really good quality products. Like, I've tried other mail order razor products. These are way better. Way better, both in presentation and feel and everything. They have a deal right now where you can get a starter kit from them for not $15, not with our code. With our code, you get it for $10. That includes the handle, three razors, and your choice of either the shaving gel or the shaving cream. Mm. So whichever you prefer there. I don't know what that's made out of. That's probably made out of some kind of dragon something.
Wildfire.
No, I wouldn't want to put that on my face. Definitely not wildfire in those bottles. But I really like the stuff. It's really just a quality product. You can feel how well made it is when you hold it. Way better than those other places. Uh-oh. Trust me. So right now, if you go to harrys.com, harrys.com, and use our code GOT, you can get $5 off that starter kit. So it's only $10. It's 50%. That's a big... Actually, it's 33% off, but you know,
I'm not actually. Percentages elude me.
Okay,
I'd never forged my chain at the Meister's Citadel for mathematics.
All right, but do you know all about wildfire on your face? Apparently,
sure. Yeah, I got the Valerian link on lock.
It's good stuff. It's really high quality products, and they're cheap.
I can vouch for it. Jim's face.
They always have free shipping too. So
Jim's face is slick as a wet baby seal.
Sure.
Har har.
All right, so check it out. Harrys.com. Use the code GOT. Get $5 off the starter kit.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I will dismiss you from service, and we'll play the fantastic Highway Superstars 80s remix of Game of Thrones.
Maybe I could just sit in this one time on this gigantic spoiler section.
No. It's one of those things where it's like once you stare at the sun, you're blind. And you can't see again.
Fine. I'm out of here.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV Plus, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th,
Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
I dug up all of the spoiler sections from last year and found the time codes for all of the tinfoil sections because I had a lot of people saying that they wanted to re-listen to those, and it's kind of pain to try to find them. I know it took me quite a while, but I created a forum post at forums.baldmove.com in the Game of Thrones section. It's called the Spoiler Archive, and I'm going to keep adding to that as I add new ones, but I've got kind of an archive of all the topics. Just a rundown on those, so people, if they're just joining us for the podcast this year, if you hear one that perks your interest, you can go back and listen to them. For the episode 400, which was the season 4 premiere, or preview cast, rather, at the 1 hour 30 mark on the dot is the R plus L equals J theory. At 401, one of my personal favorites, at the 2 hour 9 minute 10 second mark, is the Roose Bolton, a.k.a. the Roose is Loose, a.k.a. Spruce Roose, a.k.a. Bolton, a.k.a. Roose Bolton Vampire Lord theory. In episode 402, at the hour 55 minute, 55 second, we considered Tyrion Lannister secret Targaryen. Episode 403, at the 1 hour 23 minute, 32 second mark, we did a deep dive on the various prophecies regarding Daenerys Targaryen. 404, at the 1 hour 29 minute 20 second mark, we talked about the wall, the Night's King, and rethinking the motivations of the others. 405, at the 2 hour 35 minute 20 second mark, we talked about Cersei's prophecy, the Valonqar, and all that business, the identity of said Valonqar. 406, at the 1 hour 50 minute 50 second mark, we talked about the Gravedigger theory, aka Get Hype. 407, at the 1 hour 57 minute and 4 second mark, we talked about the first part of the Grand Northern Conspiracy, which I'm thinking about revisiting this year. There was a third leg of that theory that I did not consider because, well, a lot of reasons. I thought it was the least plausible one, or the one that was most kind of just based on, you know, by the time I started getting an article ready to do the spoiler section, I kind of started talking myself out of that leg of the theory. But I think I might have another go at it and, you know, do a video on it with some maps and the kind of do a whole overview of the entire Grand Northern Conspiracy, because I do think it works better when you can kind of see the locations involved and where these things are actually happening. And 408, at the 1 hour 27 minute and 40 second mark, Grand Northern Conspiracy Part 2. 409, at the 1 hour 44 minute 10 second mark, we talked about Jaqen H'ghar, Sand Snakes, and a Citadel, and how those are all coming together in Dance of the Dragons. At the episode 410, at the 2 hour 26 minute 9 second mark, we talked about the High Septon's true identity, which we're going to touch on a little bit this week as well. First spoiler take, or actually, no, sorry. First spoiler take is from Tyler Shumway, who has I've been playing a lot of Destiny with him of late in the Game of Thrones, or I'm sorry, the Night's Watch podcast. Jeez, in the Walking Dead podcast that Jim and I do, I did a call for PS4 Guardians from the Destiny series because I just gotten into the game with my son and I was looking for guys to raid with, and I got a lot of friends requests. It's cool to be able to jump on and play with dudes whenever I get a chance, which is going to be not a lot in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But if you want to get on that, you can go to destiny.baldmove.com to get my screen name and kind of what I'm looking for and add me there if you're interested. Anyway, Tyler's been taking advantage of that, and he sent in an email to kind of recap of season 4 and has his thoughts and speculations for series 5, season 5. He said, I just finished rewatching season 4 and wanted to gather my thoughts before the new season. He said, Arya, we leave her at the end of season 4 with Arya walking away from a dying Sandor, Clegane, and sailing off to Braavos. I'm thinking her training in the House of Black and White will be pretty straightforward adaptation from the books. I feel her arc in Feast and Dance is by far the most concise and entertaining and won't require too many changes. Then again, who knows what will happen if they go into Winds of Winter territory. I agree with you. In fact, Arya was, when I kind of gave up on Feast, I continued skipping ahead and reading her segments and both that and Dances with Dragons, because I was so interested in that, and that kind of got me through the books in a kind of skipping around fashion. One thing that I've been seeing a lot on Reddit is people speculating about how and why George Martin is releasing the Winds of Winter chapters that he's doing. And if you'll recall, before last season, he released the Mercy chapter, the preview chapter, which blended a lot of what actually happened with her and Sandor at the inn, where she in the TV show murders Polliver. In the books, in the Mercy chapter, she murders Raff the Sweetling in a much very similar manner. And a lot of people are speculating that George is trying to stay ahead of the show at least a little bit, so when there's signature moments in the series, he can drop a preview chapter that kind of covers some form of that, so the book readers can not, if they're really passionate about it, can avoid being spoiled by the show. They're essentially spoiling parts of The Winds of Winter to do that, but if you feel like this is George's story to tell, that's something you can do. He just released a Sansa chapter less than 2 weeks ago before this season. A lot of people speculating, we talked in the spoiler section last year that we're kind of at the end of Sansa's story, or very close to the end. By the time we got out of the last season, if we plunge forward with her, we're going to be getting into Winds of Winter territory. So a lot of people are thinking that this is some preview material for things that we're going to see Sansa doing in this season. And I kind of like that. If there is another chapter or two that drops that covers some other topics that we'll be getting into this season, we'll talk about that on the Spoiler podcast. But I'm pretty excited to see how Sansa progresses. Continuing on with Tyler's email, he's talking about Sansa herself. He said, we saw Sansa last fully embracing her role as Elaine in preparation for Robin's tour of the Vale. We're already getting into Winds of Winter territory with the storyline, and I can only assume we will see the tragic accidental quote-unquote death of Robin and the marriage of Sansa and Lord Baelish. This will make Littlefinger lord of both the Vale and Winterfell. I believe he will then attempt to unite the North and the Vale against the Boltons and Freys, with the ultimate goal of taking King's Landing. Of course, Daenerys, Stannis, and White Walkers are major wild cards in determining how any part of this plan actually plays out. Continuing with Jon Snow, we last see Jon staring at Melisandre over a fire of burning corpses after Mance Rayder and Free Folk have surrendered to Stannis. Season 5 will likely begin with Stannis offering Jon Winterfell and Jon becoming instead Lord Commander. After that, they will likely condense a lot of Dance of Dragons materials and focus mostly on the Treaty with the Wildlings. The season will end, of course, with Jon getting stabbed. I don't expect any Winds of Winter spoilers here. Then again, I'm sure the Double Ds will want at least one appearance from the White Walkers, if at all possible. Yeah, it would be weird and kind of unprecedented for them to not make a single appearance in an entire season. They kind of got shoehorned in last year with the look forward all the way 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 north at the northern end of the world, and we saw the birth of a White Walker. I'm not sure how they'd fit in, but then again, I didn't see that coming into last year either. A lot of exciting things going on with Jon this season. I think we've talked about that doesn't seem like there's many fan pleasing moments in this season coming up as there were in previous seasons, other than Arya stuff. But the Wall provides a lot of those signature moments. Ed fetch me a block is one that I'm really looking forward to, getting rid of Janos Slynt. So we'll see how they handle that. Bran Bran is last seen with Mira, Hodor, the Green Seer, and the lame-ass three-eyed crow inside a weirdwood heart tree. Jojen dies after Skeleton stabs him repeatedly, Mira slits his throat, and the Green Seer incinerates him with a fireball. I'm pretty sure it's been confirmed that Bran will not be in the season. This might not seem like a huge deal, but it also means no Hodor. I don't know that I buy anything that's been confirmed. You know, people have been saying on the forums that like, Lady Stoneheart's confirmed that she's not going to be in this season or even in the series at all. But that just blows my mind because I don't see how if you get rid of Lady Stoneheart, I don't know what you do with Brienne. And I don't know how you get Jaime back in the plot, especially with the wholesale changes that they're making to Jaime's character this season, or at least, you know, not his character, the plot that he's got to do in this season. I don't know. Like I said, I know a lot of people said that it's confirmed that Bran's not going to be in the season. And I guess I'll take those confirmations more seriously going forward in the new seasons if it turns out that's the truth. But just with how, you know, much problems they had with Bran aging in the role last year, if we go a whole year without seeing him, that is going to be a problem, I think. I mean, and there are things that they can show him doing. They can show him mastering his talents and being tutored, being trained under tutelage of the Three-Eyed Crow. I do hope, as I said in the previous preview chapter, that they do increase the visual appeal of the Three-Eyed Crow, make him more creepy and make him more fitting with the description he's got in the book, because I think he's a very ambiguous character. I'm not, you know, reading the books, I don't think you can be entirely sure whose side he's on, what he's actually trying to do with Bran, what kind of morality we're dealing with, stuff like that. And I think it's interesting, and I can't see how they can get away from that for an entire season. Tyler continues, Rickon, Asha, and Shaggy Dog set off to an unknown location after parting from Bran in season 3. I have a strange suspicion that we will see them this season. I'm not sure to what extent we will have Davos' storyline, but I can totally see him making it to Greywater Watch and meeting Rickon and Asha by the end of the season. That would suppose that we are introduced to the Manderly storyline, and I would definitely like to see that. That touches on a little bit of the Grand Northern Conspiracy, and I would be very interested to see how far they progress with that storyline, because that might be able to tell us a lot about what Martin is intending to do and whether the Grand Northern Conspiracy is actually has legs to stand on. Theon. We last see Theon with Ramsay and Roose Bolton as they head to Winterfell. I'm hoping we get in the Winds of Winter on this storyline, since it feels like a story arc GRRM didn't have time to wrap up in Dance of Dragons. I'm sure fake Arya marrying Ramsay and Reek's escape will be major points of focus. Here again, if they go with this storyline, which they have to with Theon and Ramsay and Roose and the wedding, and they don't include, you know, Bran's kind of revelations and seeing some of this stuff through the Weirwood tree, I don't see how they do that without having Bran in it, or it's a missed opportunity to tie those two plots together and give it some significance and poignancy, I think. Cersei. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they handle her plots and paranoia this season. Given Margaery's larger role in the show versus the books, I expect a pretty epic showdown between the two of them. I'm sure we at least get to Cersei's walk of shame, but it would be awesome if we got to see her trial by combat, especially if the Clegane Bowl theory is confirmed. I doubt we'll get to see that far, but it's been pretty much confirmed with you know, preseason coverage and leaks from shooting locations and stuff like that, that we're going to see her walk of shame, which I'm interested to see how far they take that in the show. Are they actually going to shave Cersei's head? You know, are they actually going to make her walk naked? How brutal is that going to be? I am also interested in seeing her paranoia, because that was one of the moments of like real schadenfreude we were able to feel in the Game of Thrones series, to see how
the difference between Cersei's image of herself and how self-satisfied and how intelligent she thought she was and how masterful all her moves were, and seeing actually every single thing she's doing, making the realm more and more unsafe and unstable and gradually dismantling all of the power that Tywin had been building carefully over the course of his entire life. All of his dreams and his architected plans being brought to ruin by Cersei's pride and ignorance and paranoia. I'm also interested in seeing what Lena Headey does with that material, because I think this is some stuff that she can really sink her teeth into and have fun with, and by extension, it'll be interesting for us to watch. Jaime, we last see Jaime rescuing Tyrion and leaving him on friendly terms, which is certainly different from the books, which, you know, a lot of people have mixed feelings or negative emotions about. But if what I've read on the forums is true, Tyler continues, Jaime will be partially taking the role of Sir Aerys Okhart and heading to Dorne. I doubt Jaime will meet the same end as Sir Okhart, and I'm not sure why he would support Myrcella's claim over Tommen's if they go that route. I actually have an idea with that, because I don't think it's going to be quite the same plot that Okhart had. I think it's going to be a blend of Okhart and Baelin Swan. So, man, I guess I feel like that this is going to be Jaime trying to slowly uncover the fact that they're trying to use Myrcella in this way and somehow try to prevent it and stop it. I'm very interested in seeing how Alexander Siddig, which I don't know if that's how you actually pronounce his name, who we last saw, or at least I last saw, as Dr. Bashir from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as Prince Doran of Dorne. And I'd like to see kind of how he plays that fairly unassuming yet very wily character who's just as passionate about vengeance in his way as his brother was. I have no idea. This is the biggest change, and this is where I guess I'm looking the most to see whether I'm going to put faith in the double D's of translating this going forward. If they can fundamentally change what Jaime is doing this much in the television series and manage all of that plot in a believable way, then I will be a lot more excited and a lot more relaxed about the seasons as they fold going forward than I am right now, which I'm kind of nervous and afraid. He continues, if they do change the plotline completely, that it wouldn't over... Wait. He continues, for all I know, he could travel with Quentin to Meereen and steal one of Dany's dragons. This change actually makes a lot of sense, though, since Jaime's victories in the Trident can easily be cut from the larger story, and he can still meet up with Brienne before the end because her arc this season is also up in the air. I mean, he can go to Meereen and try to steal one of Dany's dragons. The only problem I have with this is it makes me question, with Dance of Dragons and Feast of Crows being such a huge book and so sprawling, if they are able to consolidate this, it essentially tells me, and they're able to get rid of Lady Stoneheart, which again, I'm not fully believing in. They're able to excise that much from these books and not change the storyline. It makes you wonder, what the hell is the point? What the hell is the point of Jaime's wandering through the Riverlands, bringing the king's peace? What the hell is the point of Brienne's quest for Sansa and Arya? What is the point of sicking Brienne back on Jaime? And how are they going to make all this stuff work together like that? I don't know. Those are the things that make me nervous. He continues, Tyrion, we last see Tyrion in a box sailing away with Varys after killing Shae and Tywin. I expect some major condensing of this arc. I'm sure we'll start in Pintos with Magister Illyrio. He'll then meet Jorah shortly after that. They'll be sold into slavery and escape by joining the Second Sons. Given the absence of Penny at Joffrey's wedding feast, I doubt she'll be in the show. I'm not sure how long Varys will stick with him. IMDb indicates that they are together at least till Volantis. That's interesting, too, because I've also heard it's confirmed that they're getting rid of the Aegon and Griff plot lines of the books, which, again, that really consolidates Tyrion's path, as he points out. But on the other hand, that's a major point of the books. It's also a kind of, if you listen to the tinfoil sections last year on Dany's prophecies, it's something that's really foreshadowed and a major part of of the overall arc of what I think Martin is trying to do when everything hits the fan in Westeros. And again, I just don't know how this all works. I don't care if we don't get Penny. I think Penny is an interesting character in the books because it's kind of, Tyrion feels sorry for himself as the son of Tywin Lannister and as his imp, but he kind of really sees what it's like for a dwarf in the world if you don't have riches and fame to kind of shield you from a little bit of that. Like, he's felt sorry for himself and felt like an outcast, but he gets to feel what that's really like from her perspective. And I enjoyed that, but I don't think part of the reason he had to do that in a book is because, Tyrion kind of was a borderline unsympathetic character coming out of the last season as far as the books are coming out of the last book. I in the show, since he didn't kind of end things poorly with Jaime, and his revenge against Shay and Tywin is as portrayed as entirely justified, I don't think you have to really do a lot of rehabilitation of his character, and he's a fan favorite. So it's one of those things where I don't know that all of the foresight we have as book readers is going to avail us much when we're talking about how these plots are going to move forward. He moves on to Daenerys. He said, "We last saw Dany chaining her dragons after discovering Drogon had killed a little girl. They covered enough of Dance with Dragons in season 4 that they could include a lot of the remaining plot lines this season. Though if they were to cut something, I would guess it would be the Pale Mare stuff. I'm sure her marriage to Hisdar will be a big focus, though I'm not sure how much Dario will play into things since their relationship seems fundamentally different in the show. I can see the Double D's saving the fighting pits for the finale, but I can also see them really condensing things and getting all the way through to the Battle of Meereen." I don't know. That's something I'm also curious about the show watchers is so much. I tried to probe that with Jim on the preview cast that we did last week, the non-spoiler one. Our show watcher is going to get really restless to see Dany sitting around the Meereen for another full season. But I was very surprised to hear Jim say that, no, he's kind of invested and he doesn't mind spending more time in Meereen. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that are like, good God, get on with it already. We want to see you dragging up. You got your army. You got your ships. Let's go to Westeros and kick ass. I kind of see this happening exactly. Yeah, I mean, we could get rid of the whole plague arc and some of the other bureaucratic difficulties that she has, and just consolidate that with the Sons of Anarchy, or not Sons of Anarchy, the Son of the Harpies, and dealing with that and her marriage to Hisdar and some of the changes she has to make to allow for the fighting pits to reopen and kind of struggling with her morality over that. And ending with the fighting pit sequence and her flying off with Drogon. I think that would be a hell of a climax to the season. So that's kind of what I'm looking for it to kind of end with on the season. Podrick, last saw Pod wandering aimlessly with Brienne after she beat the shit out of the Hound and immediately lost Arya. Pod will most likely go back to King's Landing, become Master of Coin, and turn into a younger version of Tyrion. I think you're joking. If not, my problem with Pod is that he just doesn't seem to be particularly bright. He's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He's not that smart, and he's not that particularly skilled at anything. And certainly not on the level of Tyrion. So, and on the off chance you're serious on that, I would hate to see that. I think that would turn into a farce. He says, overall, this looks like a very entertaining season, spoilers and all. I agree. I kind of worry that, the series might have peaked in the last two seasons and that this might be the first one where the audience for Game of Thrones kind of remain stagnant, or if we do grow through this season, then I'm very curious about what next season looks like, because I can see this being a kind of off season. Every other season of Game of Thrones has steadily amped up, up until the third season with the Red Wedding. They didn't have anything perhaps that shock. Well, I don't know. There are several things kind of that shocking, but they happened like every other episode in season 4. It was just this relentless breakneck pace I don't know that they're going to be able to sustain that in season five. And then some people might see that as a bit of a disappointment. And maybe some of the Game of Thrones fever will cool off. I'm certainly not hoping for that, obviously, as a podcaster and as a fan of the show. But I could see that kind of starting to peak and to crest, similarly to what I've seen with The Walking Dead, where it looks like they've hit this kind of ceiling. It's a huge ceiling, but you know, it seems like, you know, 19 million was the high water mark, and they've been averaging in the mid teens ever since. I wonder if we'll continue to see 50 to 100% audience growth year over year with Game of Thrones, how long they can sustain that, and when the pacing is going to start working against them. And the fact that, you know, Game of Thrones is not on Netflix. You know, if you don't have HBO and don't have access to HBO Go and are not willing to buy the DVDs or Blu-rays, and you're not technically proficient enough to pirate it, it's impossible to get. You can't get it on Hulu. You can't get it on Netflix. I don't even think you can get the whole series on Amazon. I know they've got a deal where they got some of the stuff, but certainly not the current seasons. So it's not going to benefit from the Netflix multiplier that Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and The Walking Dead have kind of relied on, to where each season more and more people hear word of mouth and they can get caught up and binge watch. It'd be curious to see what becomes of this show's popularity. Anyway, thanks for sending that in, Tyler.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
Getting into Enver M, I've been seeing and reading a lot about this High Sparrow dude, whom I could have swore I saw last season in episode 7, I believe. This old man is dying, and he gets all philosophical about nothing with Arya, and then is killed by the Hound. He says, is this the same actor? No, it's actually not. I mean, they look very similar. I can see where you're confused, but this isn't going to be like a Return from the Dead situation. It's a new character and a new actor. He cites as an example, if you remember, they killed off Tommen in season 3 as one of the Lannister cousins and brought him back in season 4 for a major role, so there is precedent. I can see where you're making that mistake, but the cousin that they killed is Torrhen, which the way the Northmen pronounced it could have sounded a little bit like Tommen, and, you know, Lannister cousins, as they usually are, all kind of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nazi poster boy type characters. So I can see where you could get confused. But Tommen, who becomes king in season 4, is not the same character as Torrhen Lannister, who was murdered by the Karstarks. So there isn't a lot of precedence for characters returning from the dead outside of the Lightning Lord, Beric Dondarrion, and perhaps Lady Stoneheart, if they indeed decide to do that. And as I mentioned in the outset, at episode 410, at the 2-hour, 26-minute mark, I actually talk about some of the tinfoil theories about the true identity of the High Septon. So if you're interested in that, you can look up that Game of Thrones episode 410 from last season. He continues, I'd like to hear what you guys think. Who will not survive the season, either main characters or supporting ones? Also, any chance we get to see old characters make an appearance this season, such as Gendry, Jaqen, etc.? The reason I ask is, from the trailer, it looks like Jaime is fighting some sort of Dornish woman. Jorah has turned into the gladiator while Dany looks on from the stands. Grey Worm getting kissed by Missandei looks like that's the last kiss he'll ever get. On the wall, someone is getting the Red Woman treatment. God, I hope it's not Master Aemon. It'll probably be even sadder than watching Master Luwin go. What are the odds any of these characters make it through this season? You're asking a lot of spoilery questions for a lot of unspoiled non-reader kind of ways. This is why I put it in the spoiler section, and I'm not sure I can answer all that. I don't know what's going on with Jaime fighting the Dornish women. I presume that this is one of the Sand Snakes, one of Oberyn's daughters that we're going to be introduced to, and this is part of some kind of plot or betrayal going on over that side. As far as Jorah, he is a gladiator in the books, but you know, his story kind of only progresses so far in Dance of Dragons, and you know, him being a gladiator is kind of it. So we still don't know whether he's able to get in the good graces of Dany or not. The Grey Worm and Missandei stuff is all manufactured stuff based on a little bit of background details about the Unsullied need for a woman's comfort, if not, you know, sex, at least the ability to have an intimate relationship and the warmth of human contact and human touch and to, you know, be loved. So I don't know where they're going with that. I'm assuming up on the wall we're going to see the subterfuge take place where they look like they're burning Mance Rayder, but in actuality they're burning Rattleshirt, and that Mance is going to dress up and pretend to be Rattleshirt for a time. Although I've heard that they're removing that part of the plot. I heard rumors that they're taking out the Mance Rayder section of him going to Winterfell as the bard and trying to rescue, as it turns out, fake Arya. So I don't have a lot of guidance. It's a lot of the questions you're asking don't really have clear book answers. So we'll have to kind of see together how this all works out. A guy by the name of Scotland said, do you think they will reintroduce Kevin Lannister? I think they need to, because he has a lot of important scenes in Feast, and especially Dance. Yes, I do. He might be recasted, because that seems to be something the Double D's do. He's never had a major role. I think he might have only had one speaking role in a war council way back in season 2. So I definitely think they could recast him as somebody that looks like maybe a slightly kinder, gentler version of Tywin, who might not be as impressive, who looks like the kind of brother that would be passed over, but he has, you know, a presence all his own, or certain presence of his own. But again, I'm not really sure, and I think that they don't really need him, because he's kind of like the false hope for Westeros. He's the one that rides in and everyone thinks, oh, he's going to be the one that sets the King's Landing to right. And he's going to be the hope for Westeros, that he can shepherd him through this late fall, early winter period. And maybe things won't be too bad. And then, of course, he gets killed and that whole apple cart gets turned over. Well, if they just let Cersei keep fucking things up, they don't need to introduce that false hope. So the laws of narrative economy being what they are, they could just excise that whole plot, pretend it doesn't exist, and we really don't lose much from a show watcher point of view. But another interesting thing to see if they rework that. Donnie from Columbus, Georgia said, you mentioned in one of the spoiler sections about the witch that was supposed to save Khal Drogo, giving a prophecy of his return. Let me stop and say I'm not a book reader, only one who doesn't give a shit about spoilers. I actually love them. Anyway, I can't remember exactly the prophecy other than certain things have to happen before his quote-unquote return. Could it be that when Dany gets Prego by whomever and she rides her dragon, that this is Drogo's return? Could it be that when Dany burned Drogo, his spirit went into Drogon? Think about it. Khal Drogo returns as Khal Drogon. Drogon is his own dragon, temperamental, does his own thing, and gives no shits about anyone else as a Dothraki and a Khal would do. He says, food for thought. I quite like this theory. I don't think there's any text, or at least none that I can think of offhand to support it, but there's three dragons, and there's three people that lost their life as a direct result of this person's blood magic. And it would be interesting if Danny's, unborn, misshapen child, Rhaego, one of the dragons inherited his spirit or power. One of the dragons got Khal Drogo's spirit and power, and one of them got the witch's, Miri, Mir Draz, whatever her name is, got her spirit as well, which, you know, it's like, okay, what's the point? It would be interesting insofar as what if one of the dragons actually turns out to betray Dany in some way, and that's significant for that plot point. And it turns out that fulfills, you know, a little bit of this prophecy and makes that, you know, blood magic sacrifice more significant. Again, I don't think there's direct evidence to support this theory, but I think it's interesting enough that I'm going to do a little bit of digging and seeing what I can find out for next week. That's all the actually new material I've got. I do want to backpedal a little bit from what I said last week, in that I have had a bunch of personal issues and some family health issues that I've been struggling with for the past week or two. And I still have a ton of podcasts in addition to Game of Thrones and Mad Men. And we're still wrapping up Justified and Better Call Saul. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get the video version of one of the reworked tinfoil sections from last week done this week. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to do a video version of that each and every week for the first couple weeks. I'm still going to do the spoiler cast on Fridays that will have a full tinfoil theory. Again, if you have a tinfoil theory that you're aware of that you'd like for me to consider, please email that in to gameofthrones@baldmove.com. Because as I mentioned, I have 5 or 6 of them in mind that I'm doing research on. But some of them are really silly. I held off on doing the really silly ones that I thought that was going to be most of the tinfoil theories last year. And it turns out that I kind of spent most of the time talking about the more long form serious ones, but we're going to be scraping a little bit of the bottom of the barrel. We're going to be talking about some of the silly Benjen Stark theories. We're going to be talking about some of the silly Varys theories, like, you know, Varys is a merman, that kind of thing. Varys is Ilio's lover. Aegon is the bastard child of Ilio and Varys. There's a lot of really out there stuff, a lot of crazy tinfoil theories that I'm going to have to start considering unless we get some of the true Valyrian foil, which, you know, I'm hunting up right now. But again, I really expected us to have the Winds of Winter out. I also have the World of Ice and Fire, not a giant encyclopedia type volume that Martin released in accordance with a couple other writers and editors, that has a little bit of information. But, you know, the final analysis on that, there wasn't a lot of relevant kind of tinfoil stuff to that. It's more interesting. Honestly, the best stuff is the mythology behind Westeros and the history leading up to where we are at the books. It's like, you know, if you want to know a bunch of stuff about what happened in the Duncan Egg series, if you want to know about the original Dance of Dragons, if you want to know about the Targaryen conquest and the history of the Northmen and the history of Dorne and a lot, especially a history of the peoples of Essos and the Valyrian Empire, things like that. It's super interesting, but it's not super relevant to the books and the plots going forward. Maybe if people are interested, I could do some historical segments instead of the tin foil if we run out of that material. But like I said, if you've got some that you know, I just posted the archive, and again, that's on our forums. If you go through that and you see something that I haven't discussed, and it's, again, if it's a, you know, Benjen Stark equals Cold Hands, or Benjen Stark equals Dario Nyquilus, if it's Varys equals a mermaid, I've got a good handle on that stuff. And maybe next week I'll talk about some of the tentative topics that I've got. But if you've got anything in addition to that, I haven't paid a lot of attention to Reddit. I started paying attention to Reddit about 6 weeks ago, but there's a big couple month gap where I was focusing on other things. So if a tinfoil thing slipped in there and I didn't see it, and you've been on the forums and participating since last year, clue me in on that. Send it into GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. Super pumped for this weekend. I can't wait to see what actually happens. I'm very anxious to actually get to the end of this series, because I feel like I'm going to be holding my breath a lot as a book fan. And there's going to be a lot of confusion, probably a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, undoubtedly a lot of anger based on what relatively minor changes have provoked in the fan base in previous seasons past. So I'm going to be super interested in this from a social experiment standpoint, from a fan of the book standpoint, and from a fan of good television. It's going to be super exciting. Look forward to talking to you again next week. And until then, I'm Aaron. See you then.